Welcome to St. Gabriel Catholic Radio AM 820 CCL Football Game of the Week. The CCL Football Game of the Week is brought to you by the Mount Carmel Foundation. Your play-by-play announcer tonight is Randy Reinhardt, along with color analyst Coach Larry Wolf. Tonight's matchup is a huge CCL showdown as Hartley hosts Watterson. And now here's Randy Reinhardt and Larry Wolf with the CCL Football Game of the Week.
Tell your game time conditions tonight, 59 degrees, partly cloudy and calm. That's the weather. Will there be a storm on the field tonight, Larry Wolf, as we look at this matchup? Hartley with the decided upper hand in this matchup, 5-2 their mark coming into this contest. Watterson at 2-5. Watterson struggling for some stability here, looking for some offense. What are your thoughts about this?
Hartley had a suffocating defense last week. I don't think it went on hiatus, so I think they'll have a suffocating defense again tonight. Watterson's been suspect offensively. It does not bode well for the Eagles in this clash. If they can get the ball turned over on the short side of the 50 a couple times, maybe they can keep it close.
And as of now, it's 6:47 p.m. It looks like Will Davis will get the nod out of the bullpen to start at quarterback in this contest for Watterson. Cole Andrews had a tendon near his shoulder that was injured last week. He can play this week, but it looks like it'll be Davis over Andrews. On the other side, the Hawks just keep on rolling. And we'll take a break. When we come back, we'll learn more about these teams from both of the head coaches. That is just around the corner. As we remind you, this is the CCL Game of the Week as presented by the Mount Carmel Foundation here on St. Gabriel Catholic Radio, AM 820.
This is Bobby Dawes for Bob Boyd Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram in Lancaster, where the deals have never been better than during the Ram Power Days. Save up to $11,000 on new 2016 Ram Crew Cab 4x4s or get 0% financing for 72 months on all new 2016 Ram 1500s. Shop us 24/7 at BobBoyd.com. Come see us at Bob Boyd Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram in Lancaster, where the best deals you'll see are always on Route 33. Good people, great deals. It's the Bob Boyd way.
Because from the moment we meet, you become the most important patient we could possibly have. It's why we'll go above and beyond today and go even further tomorrow. Because caring for you is an honor and a blessing. At Mount Carmel, you are the reason for everything we do. You are why we seek the best people with the highest levels of skill, training, and experience, and why we invest in the best equipment, from life-saving technology to healing spaces with all the comforts of home. So you can get better. So you can live, work, play, love. Mount Carmel, because of you.
Education First Credit Union is your total mortgage source. Whether you are looking to buy your first home, refinance your existing home, or take advantage of your home's equity, we are a mortgage lender you can trust. We take pride in providing the most comprehensive line of mortgage products at very competitive rates and terms. Education First Credit Union is an equal housing lender, NMLS number 811029, and federally insured by the National Credit Union Administration.
And welcome back to the pregame show, joined now by the head coach of the Eagles, Dan Bajeli. And coach, walk us through the team's play the last couple of weeks, if you will, please.
Well, you know, we've played a couple really, really good football teams in DeSales and Hilliard Bradley. You know, at times we played well, competed really well. Other times I think we didn't play as what we're capable of. I don't know if it's the getting tired at this point in the season, kind of the drain of going to that many in a row, but there's some things we just got to, you know, focus on and keep improving.
Talk about the quarterback situation as we head into the contest tonight. What's your read on that?
Cole got hurt a couple weeks ago against the Sales, and Will played last week. Will Davis did. You'll see both of them. Cole's back as this week of practice, and so we'll probably look to play both of them and kind of play, I guess, by feel as it goes, who's going to get more time.
How about your running game? Touch on that, if you will.
Something we got to get better. We were running the ball a little bit better early in the year. Last couple weeks, we really haven't run the ball as well as we're probably capable of at this point. That's been a big focus this week to get back to being able to run the football.
Couple couple of weeks ago, you tried to throw the ball a little bit more. What's your thinking on the passing game now?
You know, it depends what the defense is giving. Some of that just depends on the coverages and what they're giving you. And so we just kind of play that by game plan, by game plan.
How has your D played in the last couple of contests?
Overall, they played pretty well. I mean, I know we gave a lot of points to the sales, but we've been on the field an awful long time. And, you know, there's some things we got to, you know, I think when you get tired, some of our tackling was a little lax late in the game last week and 2 weeks ago against the sales. But, you know, overall, I've been fairly pleased with it. Just, you know, it's a new challenge each week because of different type of offenses you face. And again, this week, so it's a unique thing on high school level because you face a variety from spread to power running to unique running that Hartley does.
Let's kind of touch on some of the keys to victory in that contest. What do you have to do or prevent the Hawks from doing?
You got to stop big plays. Obviously, they're going to grind it too. I mean, at some point, you're going to make stops. And when you get your opportunities on offense, you got to take advantage of it because they're going to score points. They usually do. So you got to sometimes try to match them. And hopefully, you know, you get a break or a turnover or something like that to take advantage of it.
Is this the kind of contest you would try to shorten and look for ball control if you could?
You know, possibly, but they're very much that way too, so it's hard to really say. I mean, just going to take your opportunities when they come and go for it when we get a chance.
Is it hard when you get to this point of the season to come up with the speech before the game? I mean, what do you tell a team before week 8 of a season?
I mean, believe me, if we're only wasting on worrying about getting up because I say some great, you know, Newt Rockne type speech, that's not going to happen. It's just you got to try to focus on doing your job, and that's the bottom. It's accountability to do your assignment, and the guy next you doing his and the whole group doing it, and that's what you try to work on.
How about some of the youngsters? Have they progressed like you thought they would this season, so you have some additional hope for next year?
Yeah, we definitely have. We've had a number of kids that had to play because some injuries have been thrown into some very tough situations and accounted for themselves very, very well, and so consequently, you know, it's hopefully something to build on for the future.
Coach, best of luck tonight.
All right, thank you very much, Randy.
More of the pregame show just around the corner. This is the CCL Game of the Week as presented by the Mount Carmel Foundation here on St. Gabriel Catholic Radio, AM 820.
Stuck in a state of falling behind? Struggling to keep up with your kids, your finances, your insurance, your life? Then let State Farm agent Kevin Smith help you simplify and get to a better state. Because with Kevin Smith handling your auto, home, and life insurance, you'll have more time to handle everything else. More money, too. Because adding State Farm policies can earn you discounts that could add up to 40% and actually help you get ahead. Call State Farm agent Kevin Smith in Columbus today and get to a better state with State Farm.
Position yourself for success at Ohio Dominican University.
With an outstanding academic reputation, ODU offers an education that produces graduates grounded in faith, values, and ethics.
Ranked in the top tier of U.S. News and World Report's rating of Midwest universities, Ohio Dominican offers a wide range of academic programs that are in demand in today's marketplace.
Whether you're launching your career or preparing for grad school, ODU is here to position you for future success.
Connect your passion with a purpose.
Learn more at ohiodominican.com.
Malik & Malik, a family-owned law firm that provides quality and compassionate legal representation in the Columbus, Ohio region for people who have suffered injuries and deserve proper compensation. Our Columbus, Ohio attorneys are dedicated to helping you recover your rightful compensation for job-related and worker compensation injuries, as well as injuries resulting from car and truck accidents, dog bite claims, and more. Visit us at maliklawfirm.com.
Hi, I'm Mike DeAndrea from Miracle Motor Mart. Our pricing is about half of new. Think about it. If we sell you a product at a great price and it is very reliable, well, that makes you a happy customer. Which explains why over the past few years, Miracle Motor Mart has become the largest independent dealer by the number of vehicles sold in the state of Ohio. Listen, go to miraclemotormart.com. You'll be glad you did.
And welcome back to the pregame show, joined now by the head coach of the Bishop Hartley Hawks, Brad Birchfield. And coach, assess the team's performance last week. We heard the game here on AMA 20 as you get by Reedy 56-17. Were you happy with the team's overall performance?
We were happy. You know, we weren't happy with the turnover, obviously, right before half, and then they were subsequently scored off it, so that we didn't really like that, obviously. But we were happy that we were able to play a lot of kids, and we were really able to shut down their great running back, which I was most happy about. And you're always happy with a solid CCL win, for sure.
At this this point of the season, some guys get banged up, some guys get stronger. Do you have any guys that look stronger now than they did in week one?
I think we're getting better. There's no question. You know, four of our five wins have been by running clock, and so I think we're putting people away, but we're still not near as good as what we need to be. And I think that's pretty encouraging because we're not near as good as what we're going to be. We need to eliminate the turnovers and penalties, and we're close to doing that. You know, we're getting better, and we really are close to doing that.
Can you talk about Phillip Cole? I know we like to focus on the upperclassmen, but here's a sophomore that you said had potential, and I think we saw a lot from him last week. Can you assess his development?
Yeah, we're excited about Phillip. You know, we didn't really know much about him. It's funny because I'm in admissions as well, so we have this little young man, young lady. He's got a sister here at Hartley as well, and they said they're coming from Missouri, and dad got transferred over on the east side, and, you know, didn't know much about him at all, so he came in at first and just a little fella, and so, okay, wants to play football, great, we'll send you a schedule. And then later in the year, he comes back, like, right towards the end of the year, like, beginning of June, and he said, I'm ready to start, but I got to finish baseball. And I said, oh, you're a baseball player, too? And so, yeah. And then we look him up. We kind of Googled him a little bit, and he scored the winning run in the state championship game as a freshman in Missouri in the biggest classification. So he's in the kind that we started looking at his highlights and all this and said, well, we might have something to work with here. And he's a great kid, really nice kid, wonderful family. So it's been a treasure chest we found for sure.
Talking with the head coach of the Hawks, Brad Birchfield, assess the game tonight. As you look at it, what are some of the things you have to do or prevent the Eagles from doing in this contest this evening?
I think control the football because they're pretty good on defense. They've obviously struggled on offense, and we need to help them continue to struggle on offense. You know, if they get a little bit of confidence offensively, that's obviously not good for our sake. And we need to find a way to kind of penetrate them defense. They certainly lean on their defense as they traditionally have done, so we need to place a little bit of doubt in their minds.
As you look at the playoffs, final question here. What do you see right now as the smoke starts to clear? I know week eight is not completely clear, but what do you start to see?
Well, we think that there's a couple things that have to happen, but we feel good that we're in the playoffs, and that's obviously a huge accomplishment. It looks like we're going to be on the road, so people might be down about it. I say if any team is prepared to be on the road, it's got to be the 2016 Hartley Hawks.
Coach, good luck tonight.
All right, thank you, Randy.
More of the pregame show just around the corner. This is the CCL Game of the Week as presented by the Mount Carmel Foundation here on St. Gabriel Catholic Radio, AM 820.
Ganim Medical specializes in the sales, trade, and liquidation of new and pre-owned medical equipment. From a single exam table to an entire surgery center, Ganim Medical has the equipment you need at the best possible price. Ganim Medical has the largest inventory in the Midwest. Contact GanimMedical.com. Mention this ad to receive a 10% discount on your initial order. That's Ganim Medical, GanimMedical.com.
Right now, one in three drivers is cruising around in a state of skepticism about just how much value their car insurance company is delivering. If you're one of them, State Farm agent Kevin Smith in Columbus can help you get to a better state because he'll talk with you, listen to you, and help put together a policy that has you written all over it. From costs to coverage, all backed by 24/7 customer support. Feeling less skeptical? Then call State Farm agent Kevin Smith in Columbus and officially get to a better state with State Farm.
Malik & Malik, a family-owned law firm that provides quality and compassionate legal representation in the Columbus, Ohio region for people who have suffered injuries and deserve proper compensation. Our Columbus, Ohio attorneys are dedicated to helping you recover your rightful compensation for job-related and worker compensation injuries, as well as injuries resulting from car and truck accidents, dog bite claims, and more. Visit us at maliklawfirm.com.
It's another huge CCL showdown in our CCL football game of the week as 5-2 Hartley hosts 2-5 Waterson tonight at Jack Ryan Field. Good evening, everybody, and welcome to the CCL football game of the week. Ryan Baker back in the AM 820 studios for you. Let's get you caught up on the other area Catholic teams, what's going on for them in week 8. Undefeated DeSales is on the road at Logan tonight. Reedy takes on Lindsley out of Wheeling, West Virginia over at Upper Arlington High School, and St. Charles welcomes the two-time defending Division II state champion LaSalle Lancers to Walt Plank Field this evening. Tomorrow, Newark Catholic hosts Utica and Fisher Catholic looks for their second win of the season as they take on Fairfield Christian Academy. Some big games in the area tonight in the OCC. You've got the Battle of Pickerington with North at Central. Olentangy taking on Olentangy Liberty. Olentangy Orange is at Westerville Central. And, of course, the classic, Hilliard-Davidson, is on the road at Dublin-Kaufman. Don't forget, get all your scores after the game. Lee Cochran and myself, it's the AM 820 Scoreboard Show presented by This Week Sports. Let's head out to Jack Ryan Field now to our team of Randy Reinhart and Larry Wolf for tonight's CCL Football Game of the Week.
Ryan, thank you very much. Great job as always. Hartley has won the toss and will receive going left to right, back deep for the Hawks. Awaiting the kick in the red jerseys trimmed in blue and white. They have number 7, and that is Cameron Culver. And number 19, that is Jaden Manley. It's teed up at the 40-yard line, getting ready to boot it to start this contest. Kevin Lamming, who's been a not-so-busy guy this season, Larry. 6 of 6 on extra points and 4 of 6 on field goals.
I'm not sure I'd kick deep to either one of these guys. We know what kind of speed Hartley has. They could be a boomerang to start this thing. They might pooch it here.
Teed up on the far hash, and the Eagles in the white, maroon numerals, trimmed in gold, gold helmets, and gold pants. Week number 8 of high school football, 5-2, hosting 2-5. We're glad to have you right here in one place on AM 820 St. Gabriel Catholic Radio. There's the kick. It is high. It is deep, and we're going to have a touchback over the head of Culver. And the Hawks will bring the ball out to the 20-yard line to start their first drive in this contest.
That's a great kick.
Up front in the interior 5, it is Nick Dawes, Thomas Kazmir, Max Steinecker, Cody Kirkbride, and Adam Cohn. The tight end is Jordan Kirkbride. The split end is Jaden Manley. Quarterback Jake Ruby, wing back Cameron Culver. The fullbacks will alternate between Nick Onaga and Nick Cohn. And Marquette Dixon is the halfback. He's in there on his first down play. And last to check in is Thomas Kazmir at left guard. They've got it right at the 20, smack dab in the middle of the field, and a tight fun bunch to the bottom of that set, including Culver, who readjusts near the line of scrimmage now.
Toss sweep.
Near side?
Yep.
All right.
Come right at us.
And indeed, that is the case. And the cutback by Dixon, looking for a gap. Gets up to the 25, up to maybe the 27 before he's brought down on the play. Three Eagles waiting to hit him right there, but a good gain on first down. It'll be second down and short. Leading the charge for the Eagles, number 32, Max Brotka, the linebacker who normally, Larry, plays a lot inside, but we're going to move him outside and go with a five-man look a lot of times tonight.
Well, they're going to try and stack the box with 8 and make sure that Hartley has to run against an 8-man front, 5-down lineman.
And an angular look to the outside lineman. Only the noseman is straight ahead. Toss goes to Dixon, gets up to the 31-yard line, and boy, this is like rugby. There's about 10 guys in a mini box there, and that time Dixon's got enough for the first down as he takes it right out to the 31-yard line, actually closer to the 32. It'll be first down and 10 from there. 11:20 and ticking first quarter. Glad to have you here for week number 8 of high school football action from the CCL on St. Gabriel Catholic Radio.
We have an end-over formation here, a power formation here into the boundary.
Toss goes to Dixon again, right up the gut. Boy, collision big time at the 34-yard line. Put his head down, though, and just plowed through the 35 and pick up about 4 on the play out to the 36. It'll be second down, and we're going to mark it actually at the 37. Second down and 5 from there.
Well, that was linebacker Hayden Paul on the stick there, and that was a big-time hit. I mean, that was shoulder-pad-to-shoulder-pad hit, and it was a solid tackle.
We'll go over the Watterson defense after this play. As Dixon now aligns to the bottom of the formation. Ruby from the gun. Too tight to the top, one back, almost an H-back to the top of the set now. Dixon in motion, bottom and top, lost the handle, did Ruby, falls on it back at the 29-yard line. Let's take a look at that Watterson defense. And up front, Nick Giesler along with Will Fortkamp, Michael Massinople. Luther Clater is going to see time, too, at 6 feet, 3'10", and a junior, and Charlie Spencer. Linebackers Hayden Paul along with Max Brotka, and inside, Billy Minato. In the secondary, it'll be Anthony Mershad along with Connor Bush. And the safety is Nate Meyer.
What Watterson's doing with their defensive ends, they're turning them almost 90 degrees down the line of scrimmage, just trying to pinch everything inside.
Well, they're saying if you want to go inside here, we'll make the hole even smaller. Third down, Ruby wants to throw. Looks long downfield for Manley. Has an opening and can't get to the ball. It'll lose him by about a yard down at the 30-yard line of Watterson.
Well, Hayden Manley was even, and if he's even, he's leaving, because he was even with the defensive back, and when that ball got in the air, he beat the defensive back by about 2 to 3 steps. And if the ball had been on target, it would have been 6 points.
So you would think a punting situation, except you're talking about Bishop Hartley here.
It's 4th and 12. They'll punt this thing. But they're not. Ruby's not punting.
Mm-mm.
That's a little different. Normally their quarterback does the punting. I see a 32. Is that 34?
I see a 34, and as happens a lot with Hartley,
we don't have that number.
We had that last week with a guy, and there's the punt. It's kind of a line drive affair across midfield down to the 40 and brought down here and now at the 36-yard line. That was Nate Meyer on the return. He couldn't turn the corner at all. 33 yards on that punt.
I'm going to try and see if I can't get a name for us.
All right, come
punt.
Back with us in about an hour or so.
I'm going to go right next door.
He's
here.
Going next door. I'll take your headset for you. I actually checked before the game because last week, I think it was Braylon Mitchell, didn't have his jersey, so he wore a number 82 last week instead of 18. Now, as far as I know, he's got his 18 because this is the red jersey this week. And Larry Wolf comes back from the hinterlands and tells us it is Carfagna.
Yes.
Anthony is wearing that number then. All right, handoff, first down play off the right side. Not much there as the Watterson Eagles keep it on the ground. And they get it out to about the 37-yard line. Short gain on the play of one. Costin on the carry. 9:33 and ticking. Let's go over that Watterson offense. Up front, it is Chris Carter along with Michael Massanopel, Ethan Bogan, Dominic Elmo, and Riley Fortcamp. Wide out, Casey Calhoun. On the other side, Nate Meyer, quarterback. See if it's Will Davis indeed at quarterback. We'll let you know in a second. Adam Costin and Nick Bowen, the two backs respectively, offset now with a wing in motion bottom to top. And they'll hand it off the left side. There's a flag on the play, and there's nothing there. Short gain for Costin as he got off the left side. And indeed, starting this contest is Will Davis at quarterback.
And umpire Matt Wilson had a holding call, I believe.
Yes, Matthew is the ump. The referee is Rob Bachman, who's no longer with Turner and left the overdrive.
Oh, is that right?
Well,
they left the overdrive. They're on the underdrive now.
Linesman is Josh Bricker. The line judge is Jeff Gherkin, rather. And the back judge is Mark Barker, and the penalty is declined, setting up a second down and nine.
I'm pretty sure just about actually, everybody listening didn't know who Bachman Overdrive is. But
Bachman Turner Overdrive, BTO. We're talking to the parents now, not to the kids.
Oh.
Kids are at the game. We're talking to the parents. They're listening at home.
Really?
Yeah. Yes. The parents are taking care of business right now. Little TCB from BTO. Third down and nine now from the 37-yard line. Davis looks to his right. Guns downfield, pass overthrown over the right shoulder, the intended receiver at around the 47-yard line.
He looked like he was throwing an out route there, and the receiver ran a go route. And I don't know whether it was just miscommunication or it was a bad throw. I'm not sure what that was.
Casey Calhoun, the intended receiver to the far side of the field, so now it's a punting situation with 8:40 left to go. And it's a box of chocolates as well, too, for Watterson when it comes to punters. Take your pick. Let's see. It might be Cole Andrews to punt, who was the starting quarterback. Either of the quarterbacks can punt.
Well, don't kick it to Philip Cole. Because
well,
we know
saw what he could do last week. There's the punt. It
That's
is high.
A nice punt.
And it is hanging. And it's going to hit inside the 30 and take a huge Watterson bounce inside the 20, inside the 15, and matriculate all the way down to the 12-yard line before it evaporates right there.
It matriculated and evaporated on the same punt. That
it
is
that.
Unbelievable.
That? And that is a 51-yard boot.
Well, right now, Watterson's best team is their defensive team. I mean, they play good defense. If they can get a stop here, they're going to get the ball on the short side of the 50, and they'll have a chance.
Well, think about it, Larry. They've given up 122 points all season. That's only 17 a game. The problem has been they've scored only 82 points, and that's only 11 per contest.
Yep.
So the Hawks crunch together officially at the 11-yard line, first and 10 from there with 8:28 left to go. Ruby at quarterback.
This Hartley-Watterson game goes way back, folks. There's a lot of folks here from many, many years ago on the Hartley sideline.
We'll touch on that history in just a moment. A little toss right up the gut, looking for a gap, and finding it as Dixon across the 15, up to the 17-yard line. Well, according to my numbers, Watterson leads the series 29-7. They played pretty much every year from 59 to 88.
Mm-hmm. And I think Hartley only beat Watterson one time until about 1982 or 83.
And they've won the last four in the series.
Yep.
So a gain up to the 17. It'll be second down and a long three from there. Keep it on the ground to the up man. It goes to the fullback and powering his way across the 20-yard line with a nice gain there is Nick Cohn. Well, that's a nice frame to have at 6'2 and 230. And to look at the fact that this guy is coming back next season, too.
Yeah, and he's really not there. Well, he's their starter, kind of. You know what I mean? Sometimes he starts, and sometimes Nick Onika starts. One's small and quick, and the other one's large and nasty.
Onika and off again.
Right.
Okay. First and 10 from the 22. Sweeney. And it's early, too. That's what's scary, right?
It's probably going to get worse.
Yeah, it is. Two to the bottom, actually, with a wing to that side. One man in motion. Toss sweep near side, trying to turn the corner with some speed as Dixon, with the acceleration, gets across the 25, up to around the 29, maybe the 30-yard line. Nice gain with 7:26 and ticking first quarter. If nothing else, Watterson has slowed down that the Hartley attack, I should say, offensively.
Billy Minato did a nice job on that play. He got from his linebacker spot all the way out, and he did a fantastic job. And number 32 for Watterson, Max Brackett, was out here just stretching the play out, and he actually made the tackle.
Gain to just about the 31. Second down and a short one with 7:03 left to go first quarter, and we are scoreless. Watterson and Hartley. Got two to either side. Culver in motion, bottom to top. Handoff goes to the first man through. There's a little gap inside on the right side up to the near hash and up to the 28, maybe the 29-yard line. That's enough for a first down. Make that the 39-yard line.
Well, what Watterson's trying to do right now is they're putting their beef inside, and they move their best linebacker, Bratka, out on the wing, out on the flank to stop the jet sweeps. So they've got their best football player out on the flank to stop the jet sweeps. They've got the five big guys inside down to stop the interior game. This is an interesting defensive philosophy here.
Onaga now with 26 carries for 195 yards in the season. Toss sweep far side. Nick's got it across the 45. Midfield, 45. Onaga, 40. 35, 30, 25. Cuts it back, 20. He's got a posse with him, and he will take it into the end zone. Some 61 yards. 6:24 left to go. Onaga gets the touchdown. And I have that as the first touchdown of the season for Nick Onaga, who rushed for about 300 yards last year. And now it's 6-0 Hawks.
I was going to say on that last sequence when I was talking about Bratka being on the short side, on the outside there, they were weak to the flank, to the wide side, and sure enough, Hartley saw that. They offset the running back on again. They just quick pitched it out there to him, and he was gone.
Now, Brad Birchfield always said this about Nick Onaga. He's explosive. He's the kind of back that hides there and can spring a trap play or a toss sweep, and we just saw it there as he took it 61 yards for the touchdown.
He's quick and fast.
Mateo Agresti for the extra point. Off into hold. There's the snap. Plenty of leg. It is up. And the Hawks lead 7-0. 6:24 left to go. We'll pause for 30 seconds on the CCL Game of the Week, presented by the Mount Carmel Foundation, here on St. Gabriel Catholic Radio, AM 820.
Salazzo Marble and Granite cheers on our Catholic high school teams. Salazzo Marble is Ohio's premier provider of gorgeous marble, granite, travertine, and stone tile with the largest selection. Our stone experts are knowledgeable and professional with a 45-year reputation for completing projects on time and on budget. Visit our warehouse and personally select the right stone for your home. That's Salazzo Marble, S-O-L-A-Z-Z-O. Online at salazzomarble.com. Arrivederci.
Hartley with the 7-0 early lead. Same for DeSales. Joe Arnold catches a 15-yard touchdown pass. They lead Logan 7-0.
Onaga 61 yards. It was a 5-play, 89-yard drive. Took 2:04 off the clock, and now it's 7-0 Bishop Hartley. Just when I said that Watterson had slowed down that Hartley offense a little bit, bang, a big play there, and not from the guy you expected either.
They're just explosive. They've got weapons everywhere. So if Watterson wants to take away the jet sweep, we'll just run a different kind of sweep to the opposite side.
Agresti with some leg this time. Kicks it over everybody. It's going to dribble inside the five and just barely trickle into the end zone. It took a left turn at the three-yard line and took a diagonal route and just barely made it into the end zone for the touchback.
Whoever painted that line didn't paint it thick enough, because I'm going to tell you what, that ball just creeped across. It didn't get more than a foot deep in the end zone.
So Watterson gets it back, and what can you evaluate from the Watterson offensive drive the first time they had the football?
Not much. I mean, when you say not much, because Hartley doesn't give you much. You're going to have to prod and poke and try to just break a play, because they're not going to give you the ability to sustain a drive for 80 yards. They're just not going to do that. You're going to have to break some plays.
First and 10, Eagles from the 20-yard line. First man through, gets the handoff, and up to the 22, maybe the 23-yard line. This time they switch quarterbacks, and Cole Andrews is in there. So we saw Davis on the first series, now it's Andrews.
Number 27, Nick Bowen, the carrier.
Bowen on the carry that time, the big fullback, 52 carries, 222 yards coming into this contest. Gets it up to the 23, far hash going right to left, so it'll be second down and 7 from the 23. Go with one wide to the bottom. Backs from an eye. Wingman in motion. Hand off, second man through. Trying to bounce, and there's nothing there. Brought down right at the 23-yard line. Look for the opening that time, but nothing there for number 47. That is Adam Costin, who came into this game rushing for just over 500 yards on 140 carries.
Well, Thomas Kasmier took his, the defense end for Hartley, took his man and just arm pressed him, just pressed him backwards right into the running back and made the running back bump out, and that just slowed the play down.
Calhoun checks in with the play.
You know, Hartley does this a lot. They put Jacob McFeeters down here. He's one-on-one with the other team's best wide receiver, and he plays the whole field one-on-one. I mean, he's probably got a 15-yard split out here, and he's one-on-one with him.
Nate Meyer checks in. Rashad wide to the bottom this time. Andrews rolling to his right from the gun, looking downfield. Pass is complete out across the 30-yard line to maybe the 34, and that's enough for a first down. Looks like it's Nate Meyer who makes the catch.
And Elijah Carter was on the tackle that time and did a nice job. Now, that's a passing game Watterson can exploit. That little five-yard stopper outs or the hitch routes, whatever you want to call them, the underneath passing, they cannot go deep on this Hartley team. They don't have the foot speed to do it.
So a gain out to the 34, first and 10 from there for the Eagles, trailing 7-0 early in this contest, looking to go to 3-5 on the season. Backs from an eye. Handoff goes to the fullback, and there was nothing there in the middle of that defensive front for the Hawks. Boy, they tried to find a gap for Bowen, but there was absolutely nothing there. He fell forward again. It's the second time in the last three plays where there's been a hit at the line, but with the forward progress, they fall forward about a yard or so. So it'll be second down. Let's call it 8 from just past the 35-yard line.
Well, the Hartley defensive line is really, they're dominating up front. They're able to get their hands extended, get them into the pads and up underneath the Watterson offensive lineman, and they're just neutralizing them.
Well, Ethan Amaya has been a horse early on, 6'3", 260, and a junior up front. From the gun, flags on the play, handoff. There's a gap right up the middle across the 45, up to the 49, maybe close to midfield on the handoff that time. It goes to Costin, but it could be coming back.
Yeah, it's an illegal shift. They weren't set.
Mr. Bachman says, indeed, that is the case.
The wide receivers were running out here, and they just got set when the ball was snapped, and you have to be set for 1 second.
And were they a factor in the play?
Not at all.
Yeah, see, that's what kills you.
Crazy.
Yeah.
If you're coaching, that absolutely drives you nuts. They had nothing to do with the play, and except they had everything to do with the play. It's about a $20 loss.
So mark it back, yeah, exactly, to the 30-yard line. It'll be second down from there. Second, they need 13 with 3:54 left to go in the first quarter. Hawks lead 7-0. Eagles with a football with two wide to the bottom. Wing to the top, and flags fly again. Did it take too long? No, it's a procedural call. False start on the offense.
False start.
So mark it back 5 more.
I think Casey Calhoun took off a little early on that one.
So now it's back at the 25-yard line. So the Hawks, stingy defense, and the Eagles, a couple of miscues going in the wrong direction.
Well, those aren't, they're 5-yard penalties, but they cost them 20 yards. And so instead of having the ball at midfield, they're now back at the 25. So in two plays, they've lost 25 yards.
And this is a team offensively that's had a hard time getting 10 yards in three, let alone what they need right now, which is going to be about 18 yards from back at the 26-yard line. They'll keep it on the ground. And again, this is a team that doesn't throw that much. So it's now going to be third and a furlong, too, as they hand it off to Nick Bowen inside with very little there up to maybe the 28-yard line. So 3:15 and ticking first quarter. It'll be third down and long for Cole Andrews, who came into this contest 21 of 61 passing for 290 yards, 2 touchdowns and 5 interceptions. He's carried the ball 20 times for negative 35 yards and a score. 5'11", 175, and a junior. Mentioned that tendon injury that he suffered actually after week number 6 of the campaign.
Man coverage down here at the bottom.
From an eye, under center. Andrews looking, going long, one-on-one downfield, looking for his man, and coming back and making a great adjustment to the ball. That is Connor Bush to the 35. Angular cut to the right, to the 30, to the 25. And knocked out of bounds at the 20-yard line. What a great adjustment to the football by Connor Bush as he came up with the ball, leaped up, made the catch over the defender, and the play goes for 52 yards and a big play for Watterson. And they'll have it first and 10 now from the Hawk 20-yard line.
Jacob McFeeters had man-to-man coverage on him, and he had him turned inside out. I mean, the ball was underthrown, and he came back for the ball, jumped over McFeeters' head, caught the ball really off the back of his helmet, if you will, and made a great, great adjustment to the ball. That's a wonderful play. That's what Watterson needed to do. I mean, that's a
huge footer against a 5'9 guy, and the wide receiver exploiting the advantage there and coming up with a football going up over the head of McFeeters. It'll be first and 10 from the 20-yard line. Cosson on the ground. The first guy missed him. And Cosson is pushing the pile, as are his offensive linemen, to from the 18 all the way to inside the 16-yard line.
Watterson will take that every time. That's 3.5 yards every time.
Stop by number 45.
Cosson was hit right at the 18, and then he started pushing. Then his offensive linemen, who were behind the play, got behind him. And then it was rugby again, and they just pushed the pile another 2 yards down to the 16. So it's second down and six from there with 2:02 left to go.
The old Pachyderms got behind it and just pushed the scrum.
Up over center now is Ethan Bogan on a second down. Calhoun to the bottom. Wing in motion. Second man through. That's Cosson off the right side. Wow, did he get stood up right at the 16-yard line and pushed back. Now is Boffman.
I tell you what, two guys came through, Boffman, and I can't get the other number from here, but two men were unblocked right in the hole, and that can't happen. They ran a counter tray play, and they had a lead fullback, and they had a blocking back, and they missed them both.
Boffman was shoulder to chest, just drilled him. Falls to the 15-yard line, third down and a long five from there. 1:17 and ticking, first quarter. Got the backs from an eye. Andrews wants to throw. Fade pattern to left side for Bush and overthrows him by about a yard and a half. It'll be fourth down.
If he keeps that ball in bounds, he threw it a little bit out of bounds. If he'd kept that pass in bounds, he might have had a chance for a completion there.
Now, Kevin Lamming is 4 of 6 on field goals. He's 3 of 3 from 20 to 29, 1 of 3 from 40 to 49. He has made a 41-yarder this season. This one will be about, let's see, maybe 33 yards.
Yep.
Right hash. Is that a factor at all?
Most kickers that are right-footed would like the right hash, but he's a left-footer,
he's
so I don't know.
Yep. Hartley trying to get the 12th man off the field, and they do just in time. Meyer to hold from 33 yards. Plenty of leg. The kick is up, and the kick is no good. Wide right. With 1:06 left to go, and the Hawks will get the ball back, still up 7-0.
That's the tendency from that hash with the left footer, because they tend to hook the ball just like right footers tend to hook it from the right hash. And it's kind of like a golf shot. You have to start it left to where you really want it to be. You didn't do that.
Well, you're my golf pro, so I take all my advice and wisdom from you.
And that's why you should take up bowling.
Yeah, thank you very much.
The nice thing about bowling is they send the ball back to you. It's really nice.
Good walk wasted, perhaps, for Twain?
Whether you're good or you're bad, they send the ball back to you.
For Watterson, they come up empty, but it was a 10-play, 65-yard drive that took 5:18 off the clock.
Highlighted by that 52-yard pass play. It was a fantastic catch. That's one of the best catches we've seen this year.
Well, that's got to be in the nomination for the Martin J. Mitchell Insurance Good Hands Player of the Game Award to Mr. Bush there for that 52-yard pass play. Again, they do that 45-degree angle with the ends. Defensively, a five-man front, five down. Ruby boots to the right, looks on the out. Pass is caught. Culver tight ropes the sidelines out across the 40-yard line. Well executed that time by the Hawks with 1:01 left.
See, Watterson is angling all those outside guys in to take away the inside running. And Hartley says, fine, we'll just go somewhere else. They don't need to bang heads with Watterson. They just need to win the game. And Hartley has the ability to go inside, outside, or over the top.
From the 20 to the 44, I'll do the math. That's a 24-yard gain. First and 10 from there. That's twice I've done math tonight. Huh?
Unbelievable.
I'm done for the week.
Math is a four-letter word.
Dixon in motion, bottom to top now. One back in the backfield. That's Onaga. And on the delay, the counter play, the handoff. Culver looking for a gap. Cameron got across the 45-yard line, maybe up to the 47-yard line. They were pulling the football and his legs at the same time. And Culver just tried to cradle that ball and get as much as he could.
Number 34, Billy Minadeo.
And on the hits is number 34, Billy.
Now, Hartley will not abandon the inside running game, no matter what Watterson does. They will not abandon it.
Call it a gain of 3, second down and 7. Short side toss sweep to Marquette Dixon, and he just pushes defenders down. You know, right near the sidelines, you think he's going to go out of bounds or maybe decelerate, but not Marquette Dixon. Put his head down and got all he could down near the 45-yard line. And with forward progress, I think he's going to have it by about a yard. First down for the Hawks at the Eagle 45-yard line with 27 seconds left.
First of all, if you're blocking for Marquette Dixon, you better block, because he's got his hand on your back, and he's going to give you a shove if you don't block. So he just leaned into that play. That was about a 3-yard run that he made 9 yards on or 8 yards on.
Manley and Culver allegedly wide to the bottom, but they're shaking hands right now. There are 9 guys in that offensive box, if you will. And the handoff goes to Culver, And he gets inside the 40, but there's a flag at the 47.
Yeah, they're going to call probably a holding in there, but I'm not sure you could see anything. There were 18 bodies within about a four-yard
Nine guys crunched together in the offensive line. It's a chop block.
Chop block. Mm-hmm.
Called against the Hawks with 21.5 left to go.
Chop block on the Hawks.
That was reminiscent of Dublin Jerome football there, almost with a double wing, double tight, where you have
and
all those guys in the mosh
was,
pit.
And the fullback was only 2 yards deep.
Yeah.
So they ran the wing back reverse, the wing back counter, and...
And mark it all the way back to the 40-yard line now. So they will need a 25-yard play or two with 21.5 left.
The problem with the chop block in that situation is everybody's in there so tight that if you just bump him, it's going to look like a chop block. You know what I mean? You may not. It's not the old-fashioned chop block where you're trying to hurt somebody. It's just you're going to rub off of people.
Cole and Dixon to the top. Culver and Manley to the bottom.
Jet sweep to the wide side.
Ruby under center.
Rocket sweep.
Culver's got it, trying to turn the corner, up across the 40. Looks for a gap to the outside, across midfield. Let's see where they mark him out of bounds, right at the 50-yard line.
Now, the difference between a jet sweep and the rocket sweep, for those of you that are home listening, the jet sweep, they hand it off directly from the quarterback to the guy running across in motion. The rocket sweep, they let him get past the quarterback, deep in the backfield, and then they toss it almost outside the tight end. And it's a very wide pitch, and it's the old quick pitch, but they do it out of the wing back set.
Is there a difference between a jet and a rocket?
Yes.
Okay.
I've ridden on jets. Ain't going on a rockets.
You sure?
A positive.
All right. Second down. They need 15. Toss, sweep, near side. Plenty of room for Dixon. 50-45. They're trying to pull at the football, and he's brought down at the 43-yard line and without any flags. That will end the first 12 minutes of action as Dixon gets it down to the 43. And after one quarter, we had one score in the first 12 minutes by the Hartley Hawks, as Onaga took it 61 yards for the touchdown. And after the first quarter of action, 7-0, Bishop Hartley leading Bishop Watterson. This is the CCL Game of the Week, presented by the Mount Carmel Foundation, here on St. Gabriel Catholic Radio, AM 820.
Ganem Medical specializes in the sales, trade, and liquidation of new and pre-owned medical equipment. From a single exam table to an entire surgery center, Ganem Medical has the equipment you need at the best possible price. Ganem Medical has the largest inventory in the Midwest. Contact GanemMedical.com. Mention this ad to receive a 10% discount on your initial order. That's Ganem Medical, GanimMedical.com.
Knights of Columbus Insurance, world's most ethical company, as recognized by the Ethisphere Institute, offering life, long-term care, and disability insurance, along with IRAs and Roth IRAs. Knights of Columbus, a trusted insurance agency with the AM Best A++ Superior Ratings. Contact their general agents, James Valent and Chad Osterholt, at kfc.org.
And welcome back to Jack Ryan Field. Second quarter of play here in week number 8. Jack Ryan Field, 7-0 in favor of Bishop Hartley. They've got the football now on a third down and 8 from the 43-yard line of Watterson. Ruby from the gun, going to keep off the right side. 40, 35, pushes the pile inside the 30, all the way down to the 28-yard line. That's the benefit of having a quarterback with that kind of strength and that kind of veteran leadership in Jake Ruby.
Well, they faked the jet sweep to the wide side, and Ruby just kept it underneath, and they wrapped the backside guard. I think they wrapped the backside guard up through the hole, and then the big just pushed the pile for another 5 or 6 yards.
Gain of 15, stats after one quarter, total offense, Hartley 151, Watterson 76, 14 on the ground for the Eagles, 62 in the air, 127 rushing for the Hawks, and 24 via the pass. Two penalties for Watterson for 10 yards, one for 15 for Hartley.
You know, one of the things you'll always see a Hartley team do always is the big ends are downfield blocking 5, 7, 10, 12 yards downfield.
Toss near side. Marquette Dixon, 25, 20 to the outside, 15, 10, 5, and you got it. Marquette Dixon will take it in for the touchdown, and for Dixon on the campaign, touchdown number 18 from 28 yards out, and then it was 13-0 Hawks.
As soon as that ball was snapped and the Hartley offensive line got out and engaged on the perimeter, it looked like that play was going to go. And there was no question that they had him outmanned on the perimeter, and it was an easy run for Marquette Dixon. I think he had to strip one tackler, and then it was see you later.
And Agresti for the extra point, looking to go 34 of 35 on the season. I know.
I want to check the films on the one he missed. I just want to check it.
I can tell you, it was in the Toledo Central Catholic game. It was his first attempt of the season. He's made 34 straight, perhaps. Kick is up. It's good. We'll take a quick pause for the cause. 14-0 Hawks, 11:26 left to go. Here on St. Gabriel Catholic Radio, AM 820.
Hi, I'm Mike D'Andrea from Miracle Motor Mart. We have a large selection of fresh, off-lease, low-mileage vehicles at great prices. Please visit our website at miraclemotormart.com, where you can choose from over 350 vehicles which are priced to sell quickly. We deal with over 20 lenders to arrange your financing needs with rates as low as 2.9%. Go to miraclemotormart.com. You'll be glad you did.
The number one team in the state in Division III is rolling. Alonzo Booth with a touchdown run. Cole Silvestri with a 61-yard touchdown run. And DeSales leads Logan 26-0. And Reedy and Lindsley are tied at 7.
Here it was Marquette Dixon, 28 yards. 7-play, 80-yard drive. Took 1:40 off the clock. Agresti with a PAT. It is now 14-0. Marquette now with 8 carries, good for 75 yards.
You just had the feeling on that last drive that something was about to break loose. And
Once they didn't get him at the 20-yard line, he had a clear shot at it. Hopefully. Kick is high and short this time by Agresti. Return's going to start from the 23 up across the 30 to the 33-yard line. And on the return that time is one of the running backs that we'll see, Nick DePalma, for the Eagles. So they've got it in decent field position with 11:22 left in the half.
And Winston Amakon and Jacob McFeeters were down there to make the tackle for the Hartley Hawks that time.
You know, we talk about Hartley being 5-2 on the season. Their two losses were to the number one team in the state, DeSales, and you heard it right here, and to the number two team in the state in Division III, Toledo Central Catholic.
If they're not going to play a tough schedule, then the heck with them, you know? I mean, are you kidding?
The first six games on the road and three home games this season. First and 10, mark it at the 34 now as they move the ball up for the Eagles. From there, 11:22 left to go. Wing in motion to the bottom. And off and undercut, nothing there that time. As they look for the gap for DePalma, he couldn't find a seam because, you know, as soon as he got there, Blackman was waiting for it.
Alexander Blackman. And the good news is he went low on him. If he'd hit him up around the shoulder pads, holy mackerel. Because Blackman is a big dude. Now, he is about 5'11", but he goes 215, and he is thick. He is strong, and he's athletic.
10 solos, 14 assists, 2.5. Now make that 3.5 tackles for a loss on a campaign. As they'll lose about a half yard. Second down, and we'll just call it a long 10. With 10:47 left to go, first half. Hartley on top of Watterson, 14-0. Haderhoff is the wing in motion. Back to throw is Andrews, looking downfield. And for Calhoun, over the outside shoulder pass, incomplete at the 35-yard line. Good coverage on the play for the Hawks by number five, Elijah Carter.
Now, you're going to blame the quarterback. That's an incompletion on the quarterback. It's really a poor route by the wide receiver because number five, Casey Calhoun, allowed himself to get pushed to the sidelines. If he's going to run a go route, he's got to give himself 3 or 4 yards off the sidelines so the quarterback has a place to drop the ball, and he didn't do that.
So now it's third down and 10. Meyer to the top. He is the lone super wide guy. Backs off, set a wing to the top now to Andrews. Play action rolls to his left, looks downfield, tucks, pressure's on, and he goes down. He did not make the hit. But there was great pursuit by Blackman at the beginning of the play back at around the 25-yard line.
They were trying to run the waggle player, the boot pass, and trying to drag the tight end across. But the tight end was covered that time by number 51, Cody Kirkbride. Did a nice job matching up on the tight end going across the underneath route.
Andrews stays into punt. Twin safeties back deep. Let's see if we get a taste of Phillip Cole here. He's the deepest man, Manly, about 5 yards.
It's about the same part of the field he was in last week when he took it to the house.
Andrews with a kick.
That's going out of bounds.
And it's going to hit at the 36-yard line. And, yes, take a bounce straight up and then head out of bounds before Calhoun.
It's a well-placed punt.
Catches it. So 9:55 left to go. 14-0. We go back the other way after a 34-yard punt. All right, you're the Hawks. You get it back. Larry, what do you think about offensively here?
Well, they're not going to give up on the inside run game. But the outsides are wide open. They have to take advantage of that. They've got the speed to get to the corner anytime they want it. They can do it with a jet. They can do it with a rocket. Or they can just do it with a regular toss to Marquette Dixon. And if Marquette gets the ball, it's ugly. I mean, he's nasty.
He's the deep man. Onaga the up man. Ruby under center. Too wide to the bottom of the set. A wing to the top as well, too, on a first and 10 from the 36-yard line. And bubble screen near side. Phillip Cole 35-40. Look at that blazing speed across midfield, down to the 49-yard line. That reminds me a lot of what we saw from Adrian Settler last night from Franklin Heights with that little bubble screen and the ability to take that diagonal route across the middle and find the seam.
They often call that a tunnel screen because they take the outside receiver, they run him up inside in the tunnel, and they get the big tackle to kick out and it's a tunnel screen, and it's they've got too many weapons and too many places to get those weapons the ball.
Gain of 15 to the 49 of the Eagles. Culver readjusts to the bottom of the formation. Toss near side.
You got the edge.
Onigut going to turn the corner, flag down. He jumps over one person at the 40-yard line but jumps out of bounds, and Hawk fans are upset. They think it's against them, and the ball's coming back with 9:27 left to go in the first half.
They're going
to
get Jaden Manley blocking on Jack Best out here on the perimeter, and I'll tell you what, Jaden Manley had him locked up pretty good. As to whether it's holding or not, I don't know. He had his hands inside on the jersey, but they got him for getting locked up on him.
Rob Brockman is our referee for this contest and holding the call against the Hawks.
If I was on offense, I'd be complaining. If I was on defense, I'd be cheering. So.
So you're kind of a split personality kind of guy, aren't you?
Story of my life.
Or is it?
A lot of people love to hate me. Some of them hate to love me.
Can I see those lists?
They're too long.
Okay.
Way too long.
First down, but the ball back at the 43-yard line now.
I don't think it's going to change what Hartley wants to do here.
Ruby with the backs offset. Dixon the deep man.
Toss sweep.
Onaga's going to check out. Ruby's going to roll to the top of the formation. Pressure backside. Throws downfield. Pass goes to Culver.
Yep.
Cameron's got it down to the 43 of the Eagles. Short of the first down, but they'll need four more after that gain with 9:16 left.
Manley took the top off the coverage and ran the corner deep, and then underneath Cameron Culver just ran to about a 10 or 12 yard out. He's wide open.
Gain of 14 on the play. It'll be indeed second down and four from there. Down to 9 minutes left to go first half. Bishop Hartley on top of Bishop Watterson. 14-0, week number 8 of high school football action here. Honor going to check out, going from top to bottom. Toss, sweep, Dixon cuts it inside. Now outside, Marquette, 35-30, 25-20. And brought down, touchdown-saving tackle at the 15-yard line on the play by Anthony Mershad.
And he's back in the lineup this week after being out for a couple weeks. He was injured, I believe.
He got hurt a couple weeks ago in the contest that we did, but after being on crutches for one game, he was back. And 29-yard gain for Dixon, who's over the century mark now in this first half with 8:45 and ticking. First and 10 Hawks from the 14-yard line. And Dixon was the first guy up and ready to go into backfield before his teammates were even close.
Think he's getting the ball?
He looked hungry. They don't feed the beast this time.
Oh, yes,
and
they do.
No, it's the other beast. It's Blackman who takes it inside on the counter play. And Alexander in for the score. So they go from one big guy to another big guy as Blackman on the counter play with the wing coming in takes it in for the touchdown. And, boy, you need a lot of help to stop a guy like that who's got some momentum going. And Blackman now gets his third touchdown on the ground this season. He's rushed for 135 yards, and then it was 20-0.
Well, Nate Meyer hit him at about the 5-yard line, and he looked like he just slid down the pole. I mean, he hit him in the thighs, and it had no effect whatsoever on Blackman. He just slid right down to the ground.
McCrusty for point number 21 under the watchful eye of Larry Wolf.
I'm checking to make sure he makes these things, because you never know.
Snap, kick. Looks the same every time. Tail with another one. 21-0, 8:26 left to go. We'll pause for 30 seconds on the CCL Game of the Week presented by the Mount Carmel Foundation here on St. Gabriel Catholic Radio, AM 820.
Malik & Malik, a family-owned law firm that provides quality and compassionate legal representation in the Columbus, Ohio region for people who have suffered injuries and deserve proper compensation. Our Columbus, Ohio attorneys are dedicated to helping you recover your rightful compensation for job-related and worker compensation injuries, as well as injuries resulting from car and truck accidents, dog bite claims, and more. Visit us at maliklawfirm.com.
Devin Dukes with a 25-yard touchdown run, and Reedy now has their first lead of the game. They lead Lindsley 14-7. Just 39 seconds in, Olentangy Liberty leads Olentangy 7-0.
Olentangy looked strong early in the season, and Olentangy Liberty has been strong throughout, and looking now for Steve Hale and the company to go 8-0 on the campaign.
I can't keep track of all these. They got 91 schools in the OCC. It's hard to keep track of all of them.
Stop it. Right, here comes the return from the 8-yard line across the 10, the 15. Oh, my goodness. Where's the truck? that hit the return man that time, because the ball got up to the 26-yard line, and Nate Meyer got absolutely waylaid when he crossed the 25.
Blaine Behringer on the hit, and I'm telling you, that was, if you gave out a big hit of the night, that's probably going to qualify, but we don't anymore.
No, we give out the Martin J. Mitchell Insurance Good Hands Player of the Game at the end of this contest. Martin's a former linebacker. He understands, Larry, how being in the right place at the right time is essential. Let him make sure you're ready for any emergency. They have two locations, including 3816 Fishinger Boulevard in Hilliard, 614-529-4259. And yes, I did not leave the trophy in the trunk. I do have it up here in the hands of Mr. Wolf.
Outstanding.
I'm 1 for 7. Rolling is Davis, who's back in, and he throws that away. So we continue this alternation to quarterbacks, since 12, Davis is now in there for his second stint at QB, and he throws that one a little high and out of bounds to the far side of the field. 8:13 left to go in a half.
Now that's that waggle route again, and they had the three levels. The fullback was pushed over into the flats, and it was not open. The tight end was not open, and the deep route was not open. So Hartley's matching up on these waggle routes. And the reason they can do that is because that's their favorite route. So they practice that pretty much all week.
Jordan Smith is a big man at defensive end. 5'11 and now closer to 260 pounds and a senior. He takes up space next to Mr. Amaya in the middle.
They've got a lot of space heaters.
Second down, handoff, and it goes to Kasson, who got up to the 27-yard line and then pushed back. It looked like Ethan just grabbed a hand out there and pushed him to the turf. He's that big and that strong.
Well, Ethan Amaya, number 77, is a big dude to begin with. He's big, he's strong, he's physical. He takes up space inside, and it takes 1.5 to 2 men to block him. So when that happens, then you've got your linebackers running free. So it's death by 1,000 cuts, you know.
And the other thing to look at is he is just a junior. He'll be back next season. He's checking out right now, and checking in is Anthony Majewski inside. So it's 3rd down and 9 from the 27, 7:33 and ticking. Straight back to throw. Davis guns it. Big arm downfield, and the pass is intercepted on the play. A long, long pass to throw across the field, and Elijah Carter wins the jump ball, and he picks it off for the Hartley Hawks.
And it was a jump ball, and, you know, the wide receiver fought for the ball. He just lost the fight. He tried to knock it out of his hands. He tried to get the reception himself, but he couldn't do either.
So the Hawks get it back on a short field at the Eagle 48-yard line, first and 10.
And now you're getting to that point in the game where Hartley is going to exert its will. They're just going to, you know, they're going to try and put the hammer down right now.
Do you go deep?
They don't need to. They can run toss sweep and go deep. I mean, that's what's so frustrating when you play a team like Hartley. They can go deep from anywhere on the field with a simple play.
I just wonder if this is not a calling card play. We'll find out. We're going to have a whistle and a timeout. This one's taken by Watterson, so they burn a timeout. And they have taken their first. Hartley with their full complement of three timeouts. We'll pause. 7:24 left to go first half. CCL Game of the Week here on St. Gabriel Catholic Radio. AM 820.
Get 0% financing for 72 months on almost all remaining 2016 Ford vehicles at Bob Boyd Ford in Lancaster. This is Bobby Dawes, and for a limited time, you can buy a new 2016 Ford F-150, the best-selling vehicle in the world, and pay 0% up to 72 months. Shop us 24/7 at BobBoyd.com and experience for yourself. The best deals are always on Route 33 at the Bob Boyd Auto Family. Good people, great deals. It's the Bob Boyd way.
The Bob Boyd way.
LaSalle has scored. They lead St. Charles 7-0. And guys, you won't like this one. Kilbourne has an early 6-0 lead over Darby.
I'm over it.
I'm not. If I have to come out of this press box, I'm going over to Darby. I'm going to give it to him. We cannot lose to Kilbourne. Sorry, boys.
3-4 for Coach Santagin and company this season. 1st and 10 from the 48 of the Eagles. It's only you and me, Mr. Mason, here, and we just disagree. Dixon in motion. Quick pop. There's Cole. They want him one-on-one.
Look out.
Left, right. Right again. Diagonal move inside the 40. Down to the 35. So, again, I do think they were sending that calling card play. And I think, you know, we talked to Brad Birchfield in the pregame about the explosiveness of Philip Cole. What a job he can do in the open field and also on punt returns as well, too. And he mentioned the fact, too, that we did not know this, scoring the state championship winning run in the baseball tournament final in Missouri.
As a freshman in the biggest division. He's an athlete, and he's got some giddy up. And he's a little guy. He's 5'8", 160, but he can play. Great feet. And he caught a one-yard pass and turned it into, I don't know, 15-yard gain.
Down to the 33-yard line of the Eagles. 6:50 left to go, up 21-0. little counter, a little misdirection, and you see Dixon off the right side, Larry. Take it in the 25-yard line and to the 24 and then down to the 23 before he stopped.
And Hartley messed that play up. That's a bad play for Hartley, and he gained 9 yards. That was an inside handoff, and the quarterback and Dixon ran into each other. It wasn't timed very well, and he got 9 yards. It's just drives you nuts when you try and coach against these guys because they can make a bad play good.
Second down and one from the 24-yard line. Normally for a team, it's a free down, but every down seems to be a free one for the Bishop Hartley Hawks. In motion, top to bottom, trying to turn the corner is Manley. 20-15-10, puts his helmet down, knocks the defender down, and that was Casey Calhoun that he said, no, you're in my way, I don't like you, don't call me back, hit him at the 7-yard line and picked up another 2 yards on the play.
Now, that's one of those strange plays that if a defender did that to an offensive man, they get him for targeting.
Yeah.
But I'm telling you, Jade Manley just leveled off and ear-holed the defender. The defender tried to put his head across in front, and he just went helmet to helmet.
Gain of 18. Do you think it should be both ways, then?
Absolutely.
All right.
If you can't tackle a guy by doing that, then how can he put his head down and hit you by doing that? I mean, it just doesn't seem right, because it's equally dangerous.
They're going to triple stack it now. Look at the size. They've got Blackman. They've got Cohn, and they've got Dixon, who's the smallest guy at over 200 pounds.
Yep.
He's got it. Bye-bye. Does he break the play? No. They say he's down right inside the one-yard line, near the goal line. You can barely breathe, put anything between the football and the goal line. So it's going to be second down inside the one-yard line.
There's 700 pounds of running back in the game for Hurley right now. 700 pounds.
Triple stack it again. Blackman offset, though, this time. They give it to big number 14, who breaks the plane for the touchdown counted for Bishop Hartley as Nick Cohn takes it in for the score. And for Nick, that's his third as they continue to share the wealth here tonight and make it 27-0.
Well, Nick Cohn tried to get airborne and go over the top, but he doesn't have the vertical to do that. So he kind of smacked the pile, fell back off, and got the touchdown anyway.
It was like, boom, I scored. Here's the ball. Here's going to the sidelines.
And he didn't even fall down. It was kind of,
I put in my 7 seconds.
Yeah, I mean, it was about a 4-inch run. He gets credit for a yard.
Agresti to go 36 of 37. A hush
and
settles
in the crowd.
He better
make it. He better make it. That's all I'm saying.
Pressure from Larry Wolf.
I'm telling you. I'm coming out of the press box.
Unimaginable. Cleansing breath. Hoffman to hold. There's the snap. It's good. There's the kick. It is up and it is good. 28-0 as a fire truck flies by.
I'm going to keep putting the pressure on him because the kick he's going to make is going to win a state championship this year.
And also because you have nothing else to do.
Right.
This is the CCL Game of the Week presented by the Mount Carmel Foundation on St. Gabriel Catholic Radio, AM 820.
Education First Credit Union offers our members a variety of products and services to meet all their financial needs.
Since 1936, our values haven't changed. It's always been about putting our members' financial best interests first.
Becoming a member of Education First Credit Union is easy.
Simply visit us online, in person, or give us a call. Together, we are better.
Education First Credit Union is an equal housing lender and federally insured by the National Credit Union Administration.
LaSalle just returned a punt for a touchdown, and they now lead St. Charles 14-0.
Here it's Cohn taking it in from a yard out. Agresti with the PAT, 5 plays, 48 yards, 140 off the clock. Dixon now 11 carries, 118 yards. Ruby 4-5 passing for 68 yards. Agresti with a kick. It is high. Angular, and there's a soft spot there inside the 20, but it's going to trickle out of bounds, stage left. So now we'll toss the flag a little late, and then finally got the flag. It was just kind of placed. They didn't even have to toss the flag.
No.
Just put it down.
Laid the flag down.
Just quietly put it down.
Maybe they're dusting their 12-yard line.
Okay.
Don't forget.
This turf is immaculate, though. You know what I didn't know is last night at Canal Winchester, they have a vehicle that looks like, you know, a lawnmower that kind of fluffs
the turf.
Yeah, the artificial surface.
Your tax dollars at work.
And it just goes up and down like a lawnmower. You know, he looks, and okay, there's my next row. It's pretty amazing. And I sat there and watched it.
It brushes the turf to give it that dark, light look across the yard lines. You can't tell at night, but in daytime it looks nice.
First and 10 from the 35-yard line. Don't believe anything he says. Bowen on the handoff up to the 38-yard line.
Ethan Amaya just swallowed him up. I mean, yeah. It looked like the Stay Puft Marshmallow Man. He just wrapped him up and fell on him.
Forward progress to the 39, gain of 4.
It's not fair. They should have to take people off. It should be like the penalty box in hockey. At this point, you're up 28, you got to play with 10. Maybe 9.
Cole Andrews back in now at quarterback as we go back and forth. One wide out way wide at the top of the set now. And that's Charlie Spencer, who's normally a tight end. Andrews rolling, dumping underneath, and dumped it too low. Actually looking for Bowen coming out of the backfield at the 41-yard line, but threw the ball to the 39. So then it was third down with 5:10 left to go. Coming up at halftime, I will talk with Michael Ray on the Highlighter, Director of Development and Alumni Affairs at Bishop Hartley, and also their volleyball head coach.
Yeah, one of my former players. When I coached Jared Hartley.
And he'll still talk to us at halftime.
Oh, he has nothing good to say about his old coach. I can tell you that right now.
And again, we go back to the list, right?
It's not a list. It's an encyclopedia. It's a book.
Anthology. You can binge the Larry list. Third and six from the 39. Blitz coming right up the gut from Plaquemine. And there's a flag on the play.
I'd need more bleach it than Hillary to do that.
I would think that perhaps we're going to have encroachment on the defense. Yeah, because Blaquemine tried to, anticipate the snap count, and he left a little early.
I think Watterson liked to decline and take the first down because now it's going to be third and one, one and a half.
Nothing more frightening than to see Blaquemine coming through the neutral zone early, let alone on time. So third and one, I assume you now go to a running play?
I would think that's what Watterson would do. Give their best runner the football behind their best lineman and hope for the best. Which may not be good enough if it's at Ethan Amaya.
Kyle Naderhoff checks in. He's been the wingman a lot of times.
Or Kirkbride or any of the others.
He goes to the bottom of the formation. Andrews with the backs offset.
Left.
Naderhoff in motion. Now goes back to the bottom. Handoff. Wow. Constant tried to find the 45-yard line, and he only found the 44.
There were five Hartley defenders that had penetrated 4 yards deep into the backfield as the running back got the ball. I mean, that just can't happen.
And he lost a half yard, so it's fourth and one and a half. With 4:50 left to go.
I mean, that cannot happen. At some point, somebody's got to block somebody, and that just didn't happen.
Everybody blocks somebody sometime.
Back to punt for the Eagles.
Anytime.
There's the punt by Andrews, and he hangs a beauty. Going to hit at the 28-yard line and be accidentally touched there by the Eagles and the person of Perry Finnegan. So Hartley gets it back, and you know if you're Brad Birchfield, you got to think one more score, you'd be up by 35 points and then start a continuous clock in the second half.
Well, Hartley's going to have several games here down the stretch where they're going to have continuous clocks anyhow because, I mean, their schedule weakens. You can't keep playing number one and number two ranked Division III teams, you know, every week. So,
well, but with that being said, Larry, four of their five wins have been continuous clock games,
I know,
too.
That's what I'm saying. So it's going to get worse.
Lima Central Catholic next week is 1-6. Then reigning Sports Academy, a club team, is 3-4. Culver and a double handoff coming back. Here's Philip Cole trying to go outside. Now inside, looks for a gap. Needs a couple more blocks. He's not going to get him. It's up to around the 37-yard line.
Number three, Philip Cole on reverse. Brought down by number 51, Riley Fortkamp.
On the hit is Riley Fortkamp and number 33, Nick Kiesler. So a linebacker and a DN teaming up to make a stop, and it takes more than one to get Cole, not because of his size, but because of his speed. Picks up about nine on the play, second down and one from the 38-yard line. Ruby readjusting Culver to the top of the set, rolling that way, looking downfield, gunning. The pass is low for Manley. Does he catch it?
Yes, he does.
At the 48-yard line, a perfect throw if you're going to go low because the only guy that has a chance to catch that ball is Jaden Manley, and he corrals it at the 48 to move the sticks.
If you're a wide receiver, you love that throw because it's low over the middle. You can go down and cradle it. You're not going to get hit. You're not going to get hung out to dry. You can get the first down. And it's not a difficult catch. It's just the only one you can catch.
Now, was there a flag on the play? Because they picked up the football. I see a referee, Mr. Bachman, coming out to the 48-yard line. Maybe they're conferring as to whether it was a completion or not. We're talking. We're putting the ball down, and we've ascertained that, indeed, it is a completed pass and a first down for the Hawks.
Not even sure what that conversation was.
I think it was whether it was a completed pass or not. So first and 10 from the 48. Hawks already ready. The sticks are not. Now they are at the far side. First and 10, 2 yards away from the 50. Toss near side. Looking to turn the corners. Onega works his way outside. Got away from pressure at the 44-yard line and makes something out of nothing. They nearly stripped the ball with the pressure in the backfield. And Nick was able to turn the corner and get it all the way down to around the 45-yard line.
That was a great stiff arm. He got to the corner, and it was Connor Bush and him one-on-one, and he just put a a stiff arm right into Connor Bush and knocked him down and gained an extra 2 yards.
Yeah, we lost him near the sidelines here with the Hartley team in front of us, so it's now a gain of 9 instead of a gain of 7. Second and 1 from the 43, approaching 3 minutes left to go. In fact, T-minus 3 minutes mark right now. Dixon in motion, bottom to top. Handoff goes to Onaga right up the middle inside the 40. They strip the ball from him. Great job by the Eagles to go for the football again, and that time they come up with the fumble. They strip the ball, and Billy Minato comes up with a football on the turnover and give it back now to Watterson.
And I'm not sure if it was Hayden Paul that caused that fumble, but somebody grabbed him as he went through right on the arm. They were trying to tackle him, and they actually just accidentally, I think, reached in and grabbed the ball and then just held on and stripped it right out.
But you wonder, because on the prior play, they tried to strip the ball from Monica as well, too. So mark the ball at the 34-yard line. Give it back now to Watterson. Andrews back in at quarterback. Second consecutive series for him here.
Well, I wouldn't be surprised if Hartley stops them here on first down. They'll call a timeout. I just think they have so much confidence in their defense. They want the ball back one more time.
From the gun. Andrews rolling left, dumping underneath. It goes to Bowen, the fullback. No. Manley got him right at the line of scrimmage.
Well, that time they ran the same waggle route they've been running, except they ran an out and up with their wide receiver. And when he turned the corner and turned up on the field, he was open over the top. Now, the ball would have been thrown in between the safety and the corner, but that out and up was available to them if they wanted it.
Second down and 10 from back at the 33-yard line, almost the 34, with 2:20 left to go first half. It's all Hartley early in this one, 28-0 late in quarter number two.
I mean, Jordan Smith, Amaya, Kirkbride, it's a formidable front four there.
Keep it on the ground. Costin off the left side. Fights, churns, pushes across
good
the 40-yard line. Yeah, he got hit at the 37 and took the pressure all the way up to the 41.
That's a very good run. Big, strong run by Costin.
Costin, a senior. Nick Palma, who backs him up, as a junior. He's a lone back coming back. We invite you to join us on stgabrielradio.com if you get away from AMA 20. You can find us on your smartphone or your computer at stgabrielradio.com and download the TuneIn Radio app.
It's a beautiful night to be sitting on the porch listening to the radio. Full moon out there, nice and cool. Ooh, baby.
Don't get too close. Third down and 3. Andrews looking, gunning. Quick pass, it's complete, far side. Knocked out at the 45-yard line. I think that's Bush over there on the far side.
Connor Bush ran a little 5-yard out, got past the sticks, turned it out, and the ball was right on time, right on target. And that's something Watterson can do. They can run the short passing game, which will then open up the deeper passing game.
So first and 10 from the 45-yard line, and the Eagles have a few first downs here in the first half. So at times they were able to move the football. Remember the drive they had of more than 60 yards when Bush made that 52-yard catch and run, but they were unable to finish as they missed the field goal from 33 yards out. Calhoun in motion, almost left early. Quick out pattern, pass is incomplete. Trying to dive for the ball is Casey Calhoun at the 50-yard line. Falls incomplete. It'll be second down and 10.
Casey would have probably made that catch, but he slipped on the break and never quite got his body under control, and the ball just went through his fingertips.
So mark it back to the 45-yard line. Do it again. Watterson 2-5 on the campaign. Hartley at 5-2. On the season, when you look at it offensively, the second-best quarter is a second for Watterson. They are scoring 23 points in the second quarter. They've given up, though, 28. They've never outscored their opponents in any of the four quarters so far this season. Andrews is rolling, trying to buy time. A late flag on the play. Pass intended for Bowen at the 45, incomplete. A flag resting at the 48-yard line. We got holding on the defense.
Yeah, on the crossing route, the tight end.
51, Cody Kirkbride in coverage. There's a flag on the play.
So the flag at the 48 with 1:16 left to go. Penalty be assessed against the Hawks. So far it doesn't look like Hartley's going to get their wish of a late touchdown in the first half. Maybe the Eagles will get that instead.
Yeah. That could happen. They're moving the ball with some kind of consistency now on the short passing game to the outside, which, you know, we haven't seen Watterson run a screen pass. You know, we've had him, three times now. We have yet to see them run, like, a middle screen or something like that. And as aggressive as Hartley is up the middle, it might be a good play for them.
You should be down at the gate in front of the concession stand.
Ball marked down to the 45-yard line. It'll be first down and 10 from the Hawk 45 with 1:16 left to go on his first down play. Andrews from the gun, straight back to throw, looking long downfield, putting it up there, and Manley looks around the last second, and he picks it off. How about that? Manley was looking at the receiver the whole time inside the 20-yard line, turned around at the last minute when he saw the receiver look back, and look what I found, the ball in his breadbasket. He goes low to cradle that thing and make the catch, and on the turnover, the Hawks get it back.
Cole Andrews threw that ball about as far as he can throw it. It's about a 45-yard throw, and it just didn't have enough to get over the top of Jaden Manley. And Manley just played the receiver. When his eyes got big and he turned his hands, he just turned around and the ball dropped right in his breadbasket.
Yeah, Bush, the intended receiver.
I think it just stuck to him.
You are listening to WVSG Columbus St. Gabriel Catholic Radio, AMA 21, 10 left to go. The Hawks get the ball back. First and 10, mark the ball. Just past their own 12-yard line with two to the bottom, one to the top. Dixon on the delay, up across the 15, out to the 20-yard line, and almost got him by the throat as they bring him down at the 23, maybe the 24. That'll move the chains for a first down with 1:02 left to go. Unofficially, the Hawks still have their full allotment of three timeouts left.
Most teams with a minute to go down to 20-yard line would just run out the clock and take a knee and be happy 28-0, but Hartley can score from here.
Too wide to the bottom. We've got whistles before the start of the play. We've got encroachment on the offense. So what happened there is we've seen this a couple times for the Hawks. Somebody lines up in the neutral zone before the start of the play.
Yep.
So mark it back inside the 20-yard line to the 19. The first down and 15 from there with 57 ticks. And the clock is evaporating as we speak right now. Under a minute left to go. Ruby rolling left, looking, going long downfield, throwing up for grabs and overthrowing everybody.
And he was covered stride for stride by Connor. Hitting blanketed at that time. That was very good coverage.
Number nine, Connor Bush.
So now it'll be second down and 15 from the 19.
You know, that tunnel screen that they ran before would be another good play here or anything like that. A little short pass where you can get the completion and get somebody out in space one-on-one because their foot speed is superior to Watterson.
What about Jake Ruby at quarterback? I mean, what job he has done over the last few years. He seems like he's about a 7-year senior.
He is.
For the opponents, they say, is this guy ever going to graduate? Counter play goes to Culver inside. Cameron up across the 20, maybe to the 22-yard line.
Well, teeth indicate he's 41 years old, so I don't know his birth certificate.
Stop it.
I'm just saying, he's been here forever.
Jake Ruby.
He's got 16 hash marks on his letter jacket.
538, the number of passing yards he has, six touchdowns. I've got him with no interceptions, by the way, in the campaign. Third down and a dozen, 21 seconds left to go, and ticking here late in the first half.
Rocket sweep.
Coming this way, it's Cameron Culver with a seam, 25,
Look out.
The 30, 35, 40, down the sidelines, 50, 45, and goes out of bounds and around the 40-yard line, 8.7 seconds left to go. Let's see where they mark him out. Either way, if you're the Hawks, you still have your timeouts. You've got 8.7 on the clock, and you're going to have the ball probably just inside the 40-yard line. And the Hawks will burn a timeout with 8.7 left to go. They're going to put it all the way down to the 37-yard line. Wow. So that's going to be a gain of 42 on the play, and the Hawks take their timeout. Number one, they have two remaining.
You know, if Hartley had been in a hurry-up mode, I mean, they were initially, and then after the incomplete pass and then the running where they stopped them, they kind of let the clock run. If they'd been in a hurry-up, they might have had 15 or 16 seconds left.
Ryan Baker standing by at the studios of AMA 20. And, Ryan, what do you have coming up at halftime, sir?
Bunch of big matchups in the area tonight. Randy, we'll get you up to date on that. DeSales rolling, not so good for St. Charles. Reedy looking good tonight. We'll give you updates on all of those. Plus the big battle out in Pickerington, a sellout out at Pickerington tonight. 7,000 people out there for that one. We'll give you the score updates on those. Also the Olentangy scores. And, of course, we'll check in with Ohio Dominican play-by-play man Todd Bell, and we'll get a review and a preview of Panther football.
Thank you, Ryan. First and 10 from the 37-yard line. Dixon in motion. Ruby, little bubble screen this time. It goes to Cole, and it gets it down to around the 30-yard line. 4.9 seconds left to go. Don't forget, after the CCL game of the week, be sure to tune in to the AMA 20 scoreboard show presented by thisweeksports.com. Ryan and Lee Cochran bring you the scores and highlights from the OCC, City League, CCL, Licking County League, and the Mid-State League. That's the AMA 20 scoreboard show after the game only on AMA 20 and St. Gabriel Catholic Radio. StGabrielRadio.com is a website to save and earn and cherish because it's something that will mean something very special to everyone in your family. Hawks going to take another timeout. That's their second with 4.9 left to go. What do you say in a huddle like this if you're Brad Birchfield?
Well, they put their field goal team on, so I think they're trying to get that all straightened out. Now, it could be a good time for a fake because it'll be a 47-yard field goal, and I don't think that Brad believes Mr. Gristy has that kind of leg. But they might just try it just to see what kind of leg he does have. Because you need to, you know, there's nothing lost here. It's 4.9 seconds, 28-0. So you're just trying to make sure everything gets, you know, fastened down here. You don't want any loose snaps or block kicks or anything crazy.
Agresti has 5 field goals on the season. And we mentioned he's 36 of 37 in extra points.
I'm looking for him in the huddle. I don't see him in the huddle.
I don't think they're going to kick it. I think it's way too far away.
Well, they were putting 5 guys, new guys on the field, so...
It's razzle-dazzle time here.
It could be. It could be one of those crazy formations you practice, you know, once a week. And
now they're changing their mind.
Yeah, they're doing something here.
And they're going to take another timeout. Well, with that being said, let's pause for 30 seconds right here. CCL Game of the Week presented by the Mount Carmel Foundation, St. Gabriel Catholic Radio, AM 820.
Hi, Vince DeAndrea from Miracle Motor Mart, and I'd like to share a letter from one of our customers. Dan says, I can attest to their quality customer service and their commitment to delivering an unmatched customer experience. I have personally purchased my last 10 vehicles from Miracle Motor Mart, and if my extended family is included, that number jumps up to over 28. Sincerely, Daniel Horgan, Mayor of Akron, Ohio. Miracle Motor Mart, where we treat everybody like the mayor.
Devin Dukes has his second touchdown run of the game, and Reedy leads Lindsley 21-7, and Alonzo Booth is running wild. DeSales 47-0 over Logan.
Some people thought that DeSales had a bye this week. I would contend that perhaps they still do.
Well, Logan oftentimes will go like 7-0 or 8-0, and you wonder what's going on, and then they get shellacked in the playoffs. Well, DeSales is just giving them an early shellacking is all, and I don't know what their record is or anything. But
love the Chieftains, but it's not their season.
No.
It is a second down play, second and about 4, but the real number is 4.9. That's the time remaining in the first half.
It is, however, a beautiful facility down here in Logan.
It is tremendous.
Beautiful facility.
Culver's to the bottom. Do you try to isolate him?
Well, yeah, but if Watterson lets that happen, I mean, there's cheating going on. They got 4 defensive backs at about 12 yards, and they probably ought to be deeper.
He's in motion, bottom to top. I wonder if there's going to be an option pass. It does. Culver's going to look downfield and try to throw it. The pass is going to be picked off in the waning moments of the first half along the far side of the field. Culver with the option pass, looking downfield for Manley, and the pass is picked by the Eagles.
Well, as much as the defensive backs dropped, Cameron would have probably been better off to just go ahead and run it.
Connor Bush with the interception to end the first half. And, Larry, your thoughts about the two quarters with Bishop Hartley up 28-0 here at the break?
Well, obviously the better team is winning this game, and it's just a matter of time. It's 28-0. Hartley's dominant. They can run inside, they can run outside, they can throw the ball. It doesn't really matter. They can't. But Watterson's problem is they have to sustain that 5-yard passing game. They have to be able to sustain the passing game. And if they can't do that, then they're going to be in for a real long second half.
And knowing Brad Birchfield, he will tell his team to be a little more crisp in the second half as well, too. So that's what's coming up at halftime. We're going to be talking to, on the highlighter, the head volleyball coach here and the director of development and alumni affairs, Michael Ray at Bishop Hartley. Big event coming up, too. 3rd annual evening with the Hawks, all right? It's tomorrow night. 5:30 to 7 at the school. There's a social and a basket raffle. Then 7 to 11, dinner with the program. We're at 1285 South Zettler Road, and they're honoring the 2016 Athletic Hall of Fame class. Among them, John Aramo, Jennifer Noble, Donald Tidwell, Richard Lavender, and the 86 state championship football team that I covered.
Yeah, I remember that team. They beat the living daylights out of our team.
Well deserved, too.
They rushed for 354 yards and passed for 3.
Oof. Sounds like Hartley football.
It was a thumping.
We'll take a break at halftime. When we come back, I will talk to the aforementioned Michael Ray right here from Jack Ryan Field on the CCL Game of the Week, presented by the Mount Carmel Foundation here on St. Gabriel Catholic Radio, AM 820.